It's good to see you. Good to have you here this morning. My name is Pastor Mark, and my desire, my expectation, my hope for this next little bit is to lead you into the Word, and in leading you in the Word, leading you into worship. We learned from last Sunday from Psalms 95 that praise involves our lips. We proclaim to God and to one another how great God is. And so praise involves our lips. Worship involves our ears, listening to God and responding with bowing down and kneeling before the Lord our Maker. And so if I'm going to lead you in the Word, I hope I'm also going to lead you into worship. And that together we will hear from the Lord, from His Word, and our hearts will respond in humility, and our desire will be to bow down before Him and to kneel before Him and to worship Him in spirit and in truth this morning. It's been good to proclaim God's greatness with you together in song, but we want to hear from God and His Word. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn to Psalms 96 to Psalms 100. This spring, this summer, we have been engaged in an interesting little process as a church. We've been reading through the book of Psalms together. And we've been reading five psalms a week. So a psalm a day, Monday through Friday. The project has been for us to read through those psalms, to think on them, to meditate on them. The assignment for you is to read those psalms, meditate on them, and then to respond as if you were requested to bring a lesson from one of those psalms. And if you had to bring a lesson from one of the psalms, what psalm would you choose? Why did you choose it? What would you say? And of course, my part of the project is to preach on one of the five psalms that we read this past week. And we've been making our way through the psalms this summer that way, and it's been good. Some of you have been keeping track on the number of psalms that I have chosen that you've chosen. And it's been kind of fun to do that. And some of you are seeing how similar we are and how dissimilar we are with our choices. Well, this past week, we read Psalms 96 through 100. And this morning, I'm going to please everyone with my choice of what psalm I'm going to preach on, because I'm going to preach on all five of them. I don't know if I've done that in this series. I don't think we have. We normally choose one psalm, and we let the message of the text be the message of the morning. But this morning, I'm going to preach on all five psalms this morning, because as you read these psalms this past week, you would have ran into a repeated message and into a repeated theme. As we have made our way this summer reading through the psalms, and we've progressed through the series together, my wife, Lynn, frequently early in the week, she would come up to me and say, "Hey, what psalm are you preaching on this Sunday morning?" And I would say, "Well, that's classified information. I can't share that." Because if I let you know, the word would get out, and I know what it's like. Everyone would choose that one psalm, and also everyone would read that one psalm and ignore the other ones, right? And so all through this series, Lynn's been saying, "Hey, what psalm are you preaching on?" I'm like, "You have to come on Sunday morning and hear." Well, the interesting thing is this past week, Lynn came up to me and said, "I think I have the theme for this week's message." Because it doesn't matter what psalm you choose. They're all saying the same thing. They all have the same message. So it won't matter what psalm you choose. And so this morning I thought, well, I'll choose all five psalms this morning. And Lord willing, the message for the morning will be the message from the text. I'm actually going to go back to Psalms 95. What I'm going to do, and I want you to have your Bibles open, because we're going to read a couple of verses from every chapter, and I want you to listen to these verses, because I want you to see the theme that is so repeated in these texts. So turn with me actually back to Psalms 95. Psalms 95 through 100 are one package of psalms, if you will. Go back to Psalms 95. Look at verses 1 and 2. "Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise." Flip your page to Psalms 96. "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation day unto day." Jump down, we'll skip chapter 97. There are some verses there we could read. Chapter 98, verses 1. "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things." Jump down to verse 4. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with the trumpet and the sound of horn." And then flip over to chapter 100, and again look at verses 1 and 2. "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing," or songs of praise. So what's the theme of these psalms? We've looked at just a few verses out of six psalms, Psalms 95 through 100. What's the theme of the psalms? You don't have to do a whole lot of deep thinking or meditation on these psalms to come up with a theme. The theme is, sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Well, if we go back and take a second look at those verses, we can expand on that theme a little bit, and it's important that we do that. So turn back with me to Psalms 96. We won't go back to 95 this time. I'm just selecting verses here. We could look at verses out of every chapter. But in Psalms 96, let's look at how this theme is expanded a little bit in our thinking. Psalms 96, 1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord who? All the earth. Jump down to verse 3. Declare His glory where? Among the nations. Verse 7. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Jump down to verse 9. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him who? All the earth. Verse 10. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Look at verse 11. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Look at 97:1. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Jump over to chapter 98, verse 2. The Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. Jump down to chapter 98, verses 3. He has remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of the Lord. Jump down to chapter 91, verse 1. The Lord reigns. Let the peoples tremble. Jump over to chapter 100 again. Make a joyful noise to the Lord who? All the earth. So we've got this theme in all six or all five psalms. Sing to the Lord. We've added to that theme one additional phrase, if you will, one additional thought. What's the thought? Sing to the Lord. All the earth. Everybody, everywhere, all the nations, all the people, every tribe, every language, that sing to the Lord. Well, there's one more theme that could be developed, the final theme, and it's an important one. So let's look back at Psalms 96 one last time, and I won't take you to all the verses, just a couple of them this morning. Back in Psalms 96, a final theme, verse 11, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice, let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in His faithfulness. I jump over to chapter 98 and down in verse 7. Again we hear it. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and all who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. So what's the additional theme? Sing to the Lord. Everybody sing to the Lord. All the nations, all the people, everyone sing to the Lord. And then the final theme is all of creation. Forest and fields and rivers and seas, all of creation sing to the Lord. This final theme adds the necessary context for understanding all five of these psalms. The grouping of these psalms that you read this past week, Psalms 96 through 100, they're coronation psalms. Sing to the Lord, for He is coming and He'll be crowned as king. That means these psalms that you read this week, they're not only coronation psalms, they're also prophetic psalms, pointing us forward to the day when the Lord, Jehovah, Jesus comes as King at the end of the age to consummate our salvation and the salvation of His people. And the message is, sing, for the King comes to judge the wicked, to reward the righteous. Sing, everyone, everywhere, all join in, all of creation, sing. So these psalms that you read this past week are in reference to the coming of the King, and the coronation of the King, and the singing of His people, and the singing of all the earth, and all of creation joining in that worship at His arrival, at His coming. That's what these psalms are about. Well, if we want the message of the text to be the message of the morning, we're not going to stray far from these points. So let's give it some thought this morning. Before we do, let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we come this morning. We've read from the Scripture. We've read them this past week. And we have been instructed and we have been encouraged and we have been ministered to by you. We've heard from you. And we've been instructed to sing. And the thought of these psalms point us to the time when Jesus returns and our singing will be unto him and we'll join with nations and all of creation at the salvation that is consummated at his arrival. And so as we pray and as we sing and as we preach this morning, may our thoughts be centered on that theme and may you encourage and instruct our hearts this morning and may we worship you by humbly bowing down before you and receiving what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Think back with me for a moment. Think to that day when you were invited by your girlfriend or your boyfriend to meet the parents. Some of us, we got to think back a little bit. But you remember that? You remember that time? You remember that experience when you were invited by your girlfriend or your boyfriend to meet the parents? You remember kind of the awkwardness, a little bit unusualness of that experience? Any of you? None. Could you imagine being brought before the parents and your friend is introducing you and your friend says, "Hey, Mom and Dad, this is so-and-so." They're going to sing to you. And then your friend turns to you and says, "Hey, this is my mom and dad. They're great people. They've raised me. I love them. They're wonderful people. Just sing to them." You'd be like, "You got to be joking me. I don't sing to people. I'm just meeting them. I'm going to sing to them?" If you were like me, you'd be like, "Hi, I'm Mark, and your daughter here used to be a good friend of mine." You wouldn't sing in that context. How awkward would that be? Let me ask you this. In the context of your life, who do you sing to? Who do you sing to? You sing to babies. Real softly and quietly in the stillness of their room to put them to sleep. You sing to yourself in the car. I see you do it. Loudly. And you sing in the shower. You sing to other people on their birthdays. But even that's a bit unusual. Someone better get you started. The psalmist, as we read these psalms, repeatedly says, "Sing to the Lord." We're talking to the Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty. Sing to the Lord. We know the Lord, right? Yeah, he's revealed himself in the Scripture. We know him to be Jesus. We've placed our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we've been united to God through him. We know the Lord. We understand him to be great and awesome. We say that he's worthy of praise. The psalmist is saying, "Sing to the Lord." So let's just practice that this morning. Who'd like to be first? Dave McCauley, you're there in the back, buddy. Just stand and sing to the Lord. We'll listen. Sing something new, something you just came up with. Sing to the Lord. You not wanting to do that, Dave? Well, you know, guys are a little uncomfortable about that. Caravile, you know, sing. Just sing. Sing to the Lord something new this morning. The rest of you are thinking, I hope he doesn't single me out. I don't want to be put on the spot. I'm certainly not singing all alone. Let me ask you, is our obedience of singing to the Lord contingent on the obedience of others? You obey God that way with other commands that he gives you? Well, if everyone else does it, I'll join in. If everyone sings, I'll sing with you. Why are we so uncomfortable about singing to the Lord? I mean, this is a church service. This is a worship service. Come on, somebody just stand and sing. We know the Lord. We know one another. We know what it means to sing. Why are we so uncomfortable about doing it? What keeps us from singing to the Lord might be the very thing that keeps us from singing to our girlfriend or our boyfriend's parents. Heightened self-concern. We don't look stupid. What if I don't hit the notes? What if I don't hit any of the notes? What if I don't know what a note is? I sing terribly. What will people think of me if I stand and start singing? I mean, so is our obedience to this command of singing to the Lord, is it just a corporate obedience? If everyone does it, I'll sing. I've got a bit of good news for you this morning. And at this point, you're probably all ready for some good news. There's coming a day when you and I will sing to the Lord, unhindered, uninhibited, without any self-concern. And it will be the day when Jesus comes as King, and we will see Him, and we will be like Him. And we will sing, and we will not think about ourselves. And we will not think about ourselves ever again. Oh, that'll be liberty, folks. That'll be freedom. The day when I will no longer think about myself. I'll be centered on God and on other people. Oh, man, self-concern, self-regard, self-protection, self-glorification will be done when Jesus returns and the sons of God are revealed. No wonder all of creation will join in with that liberty. For all of creation will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and the sons of God will be revealed and will finally be fully human. The people we were made to be. The Scripture says that when Jesus comes, we will see Him, and when we see Him, we will be like Him. And at the core of His being is complete humility, total thoughtfulness toward God and others without any self-concern. When God made humanity, way back in Genesis chapter 1, if you remember that text, when God made humanity, He made humanity in His image, right? Let us make man in our image, God says. God has dwelt forever in a relationship. God has dwelt forever in community. The God who is one has never been alone. He has always been Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in relationship with Himself. And He's been intensely happy in that relationship. And when God makes us, He makes us in His image. And in that relationship, the Father gives complete thought and attention and glorification to the Son and to the Spirit. And the Son gives complete thought and attention and glorification to the Father and the Spirit. And the Spirit gives complete thought and attention to the Father and the Son. Each member of the Godhead is completely attentive to the other. And God said, let's make man like that. Attentive to God and attentive to others without any self-concern. And that all ended when Adam and Eve turned their attention off from God and onto themselves. Now we are all deeply concerned about what other people think of us. That keeps us from standing and singing all alone unto the Lord. We are now all deeply concerned what other people think about us, and we spend our lives managing what other people think about us in the context when everyone is thinking about themselves. You would care very little what other people thought of you if you came to understand how little they actually thought of you. Because you'd stand and sing to the Lord and people would be thinking of themselves. I'm glad that's not me. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't. Jesus died to free us from that captivity. That captivity to ourselves. And all the sin that flows from that. If everyone, the world is a stage, and all the people who are to be centered on God and on others are now centered on themselves, no wonder there's such chaos. In rivalry and jealousy and anger and prejudice and bitterness, and everyone's managing their self-perception. And Jesus died to free us from that captivity. And He took all the ugliness that comes from that and He nailed it to the cross. And Jesus said, I've died for all of your godless self-concern and the puny concern that you have for yourself and your complete disregard for God. I've died for all that. I took it and I nailed it to the cross and I killed it there. I've defeated sin and death through my resurrection. Now place your faith in me and you'll be accepted by God and center your life upon Him and on service of the others because you're free. When Jesus returns and He consummates our salvation, that reality will finally be completely realized. Well, hallelujah. There's coming a day and I will sing and I won't think about myself anymore. And I won't think about myself anymore for all eternity. I will find God to be so awesome and everyone else so fascinating, I'll no longer have self-concern and desires for self-glorification. Because I'll be with God. Why will I care about myself? Incredible. When Jesus comes as King, we will sing to the Lord without any self-concern. We'd sing if no one else was singing. We'd sing if we sang all alone. And we won't care, for we'll be singing to the Lord without thought for ourselves. You know, if that's the way it'll be when Jesus comes, we probably ought to be moving in that direction now. Gathering together to sing unto the Lord without any thought for ourselves, without any self-concern. A bit more good news. According to the text, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Good news is we won't be singing alone. When the King returns, I won't sing with self-concern, and when the King returns, I won't be singing all alone. There'll be all sorts of people there. Sing to the Lord, all the earth, everybody, everywhere, every nation, all the peoples, sing to the Lord. The Scripture tells us that God is engaged in a work, a global work, of reconciling people to Himself through the gospel, through Jesus Christ, from every tribe, and every language, and every nation, and every people, and every family of people, and every culture. And when the King comes and Jesus returns, we will be gathered together and we'll sing unto the Lord as one. For He has done marvelous things. In His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him, and He has revealed His righteousness to the nation. And so the psalmist says, sing to the Lord, everyone, everywhere. Red and yellow, black and white, gather together, sing. For the King comes. The interesting thing about that thought is that we consider that to be something very marvelous for then. Not so much for today. The Latinos, they do music a little differently than we do. They use different instruments, different rhythm, different cadence, different kind of music. It's not really our preference. And so we don't sing with them all that much. Matter of fact, we don't sing with him at all. How many of you liked Lecrae yesterday down at the island? A couple people liked Lecrae. The African American church, they certainly do their music and their singing differently than the white American church. The black American church, they're a lot more emotive. And there's a lot more emotion, and their services last so much longer. We like our singing to be a certain way. And we certainly like our particular style. And so we gather together on Sunday mornings in our segregated silos and we sing songs that we like. Some churches are a bit too rocky, some are a bit too traditional, some are a bit too liturgical, some are a bit free. We found a church here that annoys everybody. We're not very contemporary, we're not very traditional, we don't know what we are. But it's tolerable. We have the funny notion that when Jesus comes back as King, the kind of music we'll be singing will be our preference. When we all get to heaven, we'll sing our favorite songs, and of course our favorite songs will be the songs that I like. One thing I know for sure about the singing that will take place when Jesus returns is that it will be contemporary. For when Jesus returns and our salvation is complete, that will be such a big and glorious event that we will write new music. Songs we've never heard before. Music that we've never sang before. That's why the psalmist keeps saying, sing to the Lord a new song. Amazing grace will not be sufficient when we stand in the presence of infinite grace that will awe us for all eternity. Amazing grace will be set aside. And we will sing new songs That means contemporary. When Jesus comes, the predominant culture will be God's people from every nation and every language and every family all over the earth. The good news, there's coming a day when I will sing unto the Lord unhindered, uninhibited, without any self-concern. And I will sing to the Lord a new song as a new people, God's people, and I will celebrate the diversity that is reflected in a creative Creator. I'll finally appreciate it like I ought. My self-concern will be gone when Jesus comes, and all my puny preferences will be gone when Jesus comes. And I'll enjoy God, and I'll enjoy everyone else forever. People from all over the world. Palestinians and Iranians and Russians and Ukrainians and Cubans and Canadians and Mexicans and Americans and every language, every people, all together. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Final bit of good news. The psalmist says, when Jesus returns, salvation is consummated. All of creation will be liberated from its bondage to decay and will join us in the worship. The fields and the forests, the rivers and the seas will join in the celebration. You have a box for that today? I have to go back and watch Lord of the Rings to appreciate, you know, trees singing and rivers clapping their hands. And I have to go back and read some C.S. Lewis stuff, you know, Voyage of the Dawn Treader or something, to expand my mind to think through, hey, when Jesus, actually I just need to read these Psalms and it expands my thinking. Because when Jesus returns, all of creation will be liberated from its bondage to decay and it will join in the worship. Fields exulting, what does that look like? Trees singing, what does that look like? I can't wait for that day. All of heaven and earth will be made new, and the sea will roar. And all of creation will join with the sons and daughters of God and sing. You read these five psalms this week. I trust you did. We've been doing it together as a church. Next week we'll read Psalms 101 to 105. You read these psalms this week. These psalms were meant to set our hearts and our minds, our affections, our attention on the reality that Jesus is coming back. And He will be crowned as King. And when He comes, sing. Sing to Him a new song. Sing to Him, all the earth. All of creation will sing to the Lord. You know, as I thought this through this week and as I meditated on these psalms, I was also made aware of the reality that if all of the nations are going to gather before the Lord and people from every tribe are to gather before the Lord, then we're going to have to be obedient to the command that is in Psalms 96, verse 3. Psalms 96, verse 1 says, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth, sing to the Lord, bless His name, tell of His salvation from day to day." Verse 3, "Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among all the peoples." Well, what glory of the Lord are we to declare to the nations? Well, the glory of the Lord that we are to declare to the nation and His marvelous works that we are to declare to all the peoples is recorded in these five psalms. I read these five psalms this past week and I look back into them and it says, okay, we're to declare God's glory to the nation. What glory of God is revealed in these five simple songs? I want you to simply listen to what is revealed about God in these five little psalms that you read this week. God's nature. God is glorious. He is great. He is majestic. He is strong. He is beautiful. He is exalted. He is awesome. God's character. He is eternal. He is holy. He is righteous. He is faithful. He is steadfast in His love. He is just. He is good. He is exalted. His marvelous works as revealed in these psalms. He made the heavens and the earth. He reigns, He judges, He saves. He establishes, He preserves, He delivers, He reveals, He remembers, He sits enthroned, He executes judgment, He answers prayer, He forgives, He avenges, He owns, He sows. His names that are revealed in this text, well, God is Elohim, and He is Jehovah. He is God, and He is the Lord. He is the Creator, He is the Sustainer. He is the Savior, He is the King, He is the Judge. He is the Lord of all the earth, He is Most High. That is like a systematic theology of who God is and what He is like and what He's done. And all of that is revealed in five simple little songs. Declare His glory among the nations, for He comes. And when He comes, we will sing unto the Lord unhindered, uninhibited, without self-concern. And people from every language will sing to the Lord, and all of creation will join with us. You know, we have two girls. One of them is my own. Two girls that spent the summer. They're coming back this week. Lord willing, they'll be back Thursday. Two girls that have spent the summer over in Papua New Guinea in a missions experience. This past week, they've been out in tribal experiences where there are unreached peoples and where there are missionaries who are desiring to declare the glory of the Lord to a people who have yet to hear of the Lord. And we have two girls that have been there this summer, and I have a concern for them. One of them is my daughter. I have a concern that they'll come back from this experience with a big view, a big biblical view of God's work around the world of reconciling people to Himself through the gospel and through Jesus Christ. And they'll come back because they've seen nations who don't know the Lord being declared the glory of the Lord. And they're going to come back with this big view of God's work that's happening around the world. And they'll come back to us. And in 3 weeks, and 3 months, and 6 months, it'll all be back on Facebook and clothes and proms and dresses, and it just kind of comes crashing back in on themselves. I don't want that to happen to you. It happens to us. What keeps it from happening? Texts like this. Texts like this that remind us. Sing to the Lord. He's coming as King. Sing to the Lord, all the earth, all the nations. Tell His glory to the nations because Jesus comes back and everyone there will be gathered. And it's truth like this that will keep that passion burning for them and for us. And I pray that it'll be true. Well, this week we read five Psalms. Psalms 96 through 100. These psalms are meant to set our thoughts, our hearts, our attention, our affections on the reality of the return of the King and to look forward to that day. And the psalms did that for me this week. And I trust it's doing that for you this morning. There's glorious good news. One day I'll no longer think about myself. Isn't that good? You'll be better off if I don't think of myself. God will be glorified and we'll bless one another. It'll finally be realized. Well, these psalms are meant to focus our attention on the return of the King. As we conclude this service, we're going to gather around the Lord's table. Because Jesus, before He left, said, I want you to do this in remembrance of Me until I come again and will drink anew of this in the kingdom. And so I'm going to ask the gentleman to come this morning and help me to distribute the elements of this table this morning as we remember Jesus.